Hi, and welcome to The Raw Bar. I'm Goddess Cecilia, sexuality and pleasure educator slash consultant. I've invited my friends and colleagues to sit, snack, and get real, and probably a little salty, about sexuality and pleasure. We've also saved a seat for you. Grab a drink, something to munch on, and your willingness to explore and experience something new and pleasurable. Joined by Tim Lagman. All right, my friend, welcome to the Raw Bar. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yay.
Literally out there, it was during a massage therapy session.
Oh, Lord.
I was face down on the massage table, and you know how if you're face down, your hands are facing upwards?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm feeling it, and then out of nowhere, I just feel dick right in my hand.
Well, so everyone, this is Tim. He's a certified sex educator with the American College of Sexologists International and pleasure advocate based in Toronto, Canada. He began his sexual journey through escorting, where he worked with a number of clients from different backgrounds and all walks of life, ranging from couples, individuals, poly relationships, and everything in between. He then went to earn his advanced diploma in business management, specializing in the music industry, and graduated with honors. Combining his knowledge of sex and business, he decided to combine the two fields to start his journey as a sex educator. In his free time, Tim likes to volunteer and give back to the community through outreach in Toronto's LGBT scene, providing sex education and harm reduction resources to the public. So important. It is his mission in life to make sex fun and funny, as he loves to make people laugh and believes in the curative powers of laughter. Yes. 100% yes.
We got to laugh at our junk, right?
Obviously, like, some things, you know, okay, we can be like serious about it. And also, there has to be room for laughter, because then, like, not what's the point, but kind of what's the point, you know? Like, if it's not fun, if you're not enjoying it.
Exactly. And for me, like, my stance on making fun of something is when you laugh at a sensitive topic that makes you feel small and inferior, you're getting rid of its power over you so that you can claim your power again. Right?
I feel like you're getting into, like, humiliation play.
Oh my God. I love it when he calls me his little dirty whore.
Right?
I need to get fucked again.
Well, the weekend is coming. Don't you worry. You will be too.
I know. But also, like, my anal fissures need to heal a little bit.
Well, yeah, that's true. Vitamin E, some aloe.
Oh my God. Speaking of, I should probably just, like, put this in my butt right now, just aloe vera.
You know, something.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know what the cure is. You're right, right. Yeah, I'm not a medical doctor. I don't proclaim to be. Let's start there.
I just need the stinging to, like, stop. Like, I literally, like, shove tissues in there like a high schooler on her period and she doesn't know what to do.
Oh my gosh. One of the products that I actually shared this week on my social and my Instagram is our miracle oil. It's like tea tree oil, hemp seed oil, vitamin E. Yep. Like, so all these, like, if you can find something like that, that would probably be really good. Like, topical.
I do have this.
Oh, hey, that might help.
Yeah. It's Intimacy Oil by Foria.
Yeah.
It's arousal oil with CBD and organic botanicals.
Yeah, that might help a little bit, for sure. I mean,
it might.
Lube is magic.
So good.
So good.
So good. I mean, I put so many things inside of my ass already. Just put more things in there.
Right? And at least it'll be something that can help, like, heal a little bit. This is me being your, like, so at that, being like, okay, now we gotta take care of you. Put some lube on it. Definitely.
Are you okay, Anna? Let's put Vicks on your
Oh my God. That sounds like a bad idea. Don't put Vicks down there.
Vicks is apparently the cure-all for all illnesses and wounds.
Right, right. In the Philippines, it's like
the elixir of life.
The elixir of life. Yeah, it's right. They need to stop that. Oh my gosh. So let's back up a little bit. From what I understand, you got into sex ed essentially by getting into escorting. I want to say escorting.
Escorting.
How did you get into that, right? Like, because I feel like there's still a lot of the like misconceptions about that sort of work. Like, people might not be doing it of their own free will, or they're being trafficked or something, you know? So how did you get into it? And if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about the distinction and how people could understand that a little bit better.
Sure. Okay. So I actually wrote about this on my website. It's in my blog, on how I actually got into the whole escorting business. And it all started when I was working for a retail company, which I will not name, but their store name rhymes with FAP. The FAP. So
okay, gotcha. We'll
call it the FAP.
Fictional. All names mentioned are purely coincidental.
Any resemblance to real life,
exactly,
people or companies is purely
exact disclaimer.
So, anyway, I was working at the FAP and I was working in inventory. And it's late at night; it's like 11 o'clock, and I'm pulling an overnighter. And I'm there with just one other girl. Her name's Ashley. At least that's what I think her name is. That's what it said on her nameplate. Not really sure if that's her real name, but we're gonna call it Ashley.
Okay.
When you got like two people in one room for like the next couple hours, yeah, you know, you start to talk, it gets the time to pass a little faster. And somewhere in the conversation, she tells me that she's a pimp. I was like, okay, girl boss.
Wow, right? Like, way to rule your boss babe empire.
What a boss babe, honestly. So, I just started asking, like, what do you mean a pimp? It's like, oh yeah, like I have a team of escorts that work with me. And I just started like probing more and more. I was like, escorting? What is that? And then she's like, you know, you give people pleasure, you get paid for it. And basically ran me through like anything and everything that an escort can do. So I was like, that's kind of interesting. But I wasn't fully like invested in it just yet.
Sure. What did she say was like the tamest thing that you would be doing or that escorts would be doing?
The tamest thing that an escort would do is literally sit with a client and just chat. Okay. Talk about life. That's literally it. I was like, okay, I mean, I could do that.
Yeah.
So a couple of weeks after that chat, Ashley and I were hanging out and we grabbed drinks. So when you get two hot people together, because I'm hot, she's hot, and you know, things can get a little blurred lines.
Sure.
I end up in her apartment and one thing leads to another. Clothes come off. Mm-hmm. I'm in bed with her. I was bisexual at the time.
Okay.
I'll have to clarify that. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, we're in bed. A couple hours pass and we're like sweaty. We're like, oh my God, that was great. That was awesome. She grabs her purse at the edge of the bed, takes out $500 and says, job well done. Can I get you to start on Monday? And I'm like, did I just audition for something? Did that really just happen?
Wow. It was like so fast.
Yeah, that was the easiest $500 I've ever made.
Okay,
cool. So I started the Monday after that fling and just one assignment after the other. And yeah.
Wow.
How I got into it.
Wow. Did you know much about sex or the sex ed world at that time?
Prior to having sex with Ashley, I've only had two or three sexual partners before. So literally almost none at all.
Wow. So then you basically like were in the...
Learned on the job.
Yeah. You learned a lot on the job. And I feel like you can gain so much knowledge just from like, just learning how to interact with people, which is, I feel like, so much of actual sex ed.
Oh yeah, It's beyond like genital anatomy and what goes in where. It's really all about human connection.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. It's true. It's true.
Yeah. Wow. I learned a lot about that on the job.
Yeah. So yeah, could you talk a little bit about the like difference between like going into something like that of your own free will versus, you know, the misconception that so many people assume that it's like, well, you're being trafficked.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, for me, my experience, I had complete autonomy.
Mm.
I had the choice to accept a client or not. Because what would happen is she would text me, hey, this guy is like interested.
Mm.
How are you like vibing or how are you feeling? And depending on like my mental health, my physical health, if I was waiting on like an STI test or mm-hmm. something, I would say, you know what? I'm actually not feeling it. Or I can be like, yeah, you know what? I'll give it a shot. So I had complete choice over that. Mm-hmm. Whereas trafficking, it's force.
Yeah.
Right? There's no consent in it whatsoever. People are going to take other people and force them to do labor.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like sexual labor, but like forced labor, yeah. like into a, I don't know, warehouse or something.
Mm-hmm.
So when people ask me like, weren't you trafficked? I'm like, I wasn't trafficked because I was willing to do this work
mm.
and I was paid for this work,
mm.
right? I had complete autonomy. I had all the choice in the world. I wasn't forced to do anything at all. So I think that's the main difference,
right?
When it comes to distinguishing trafficking and actual sex work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
I feel like too, what happens, especially like as a person of color, I feel like there's this added thing of like, well, but you're a person of color and like societally speaking, we have so much working against us. And so there's a lot of this weird like disconnect that happens for people, or like they can't reconcile the fact that you are a person of color willing to do this. You know what I mean? I feel like I've seen that a lot. People are like, oh, well, you know,
yeah.
And I'm like, but people...
People of color have a stigma when it comes to being in sex work. It's like you're automatically assumed to be forced to do it against your will. If like a white person were to go into sex work, it's like, oh, okay, they're empowered. They're totally girl bossing, boss babing it out there. And it's like, but I'm out here doing the work willingly too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like it's got to be... It's like very much case by case basis. And like people have to be able to be willing to have the conversation with folks who are out there on the ground, literally, you know, yeah. like doing the work instead of making a lot of these yep. assumptions. Well, but speaking of assumptions, right? Like, what do you think common misconceptions are about escorting?
Common misconceptions that we're rich.
It's just a job like any other else, right? Like,
it's a job. Like, we have bills to pay. We have so much shit to, like, cover. I mean, granted, I do have, like, a few thousand dollars inside of a retirement fund mm. that I'm never going to touch. Because when I was escorting back in the day, I knew that this money would come in handy for a rainy day.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? A lot of this money, I'm just going to put into retirement.
Mm.
I was, like, thinking really, really far.
That's really smart.
That's what I thought too. I was like, I'm going to save like a couple hundred dollars for myself and then put the rest of that money into a retirement fund so that I can have something to fall back on should anything happen.
Right. Like a pandemic or something.
Literally an injury, right. like my anal fissure.
Right.
So I think that's one misconception, is that sex work makes you rich. It does not.
Mm, mm, mm.
Another misconception, riddled with STIs. You would see that a lot of sex workers, and when I say sex work, I'm saying strippers, escorts, porn stars, anyone under that umbrella.
Yeah.
The misconception is that they're riddled with STIs, when really they're like the most on top of their sexual health than the common person.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Because you have to be.
Exactly. We're protecting our product.
Right, right, right.
Another one would be like, we're always getting laid. I'm getting laid right now.
Did you find that there was like, more often than not, people would want the companionship versus the sexual? Yep.
I would say, like, if I were to give it a ratio, 80-20. 80% of the clients I saw were not interested in any sort of sexual touch whatsoever. They would be interested more in intimacy. They would be interested more in, like, oh, just talking things out, going on a date, like accompanying them to an event, you know, like some arm candy that they would like to have. Like, I once accompanied a daddy to an opera.
Oh, so that was really cool. That's cool.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the opera, but I was like, you know what? I get to dress nice and the bill is totally covered by daddy. So why not?
Hell yeah.
Right? So there's that. And what else is there? I forgot the question.
Oh, the misconceptions about escorting.
Right. Yeah. So like the misconception that we're always getting laid all the time, or like because it's not always sex when it comes to escorting, right? Yeah. It's a lot about human connection and intimacy. And I would say like the 20% was probably the most vanilla kind of sex. And then there would be like a drizzle here and there of like the kinkier
sex. Yeah.
So again, that's a lot of money is false. A lot of STIs, false. And lots of sex, false. We're just like an employee, like any other Wall Street financial district bro.
Yeah. So now, do you think that a lot of those misconceptions also apply to being a sex educator?
Oh my God. For me, because I'm a gay sex educator and I'm constantly within the LGBT scene, people assume that I'm always having sex. Like, if I'm not having sex at that very moment, I'm on my way to find me some dick.
Right.
I honestly wish. But it's like, 30, I'm just tired. I'm reaching 30. I would like a nap.
Naps are great. At
3 in the afternoon. Right? I would like a nap at 3 in the afternoon. Thank you.
Yes.
They assume that, like, we also know absolutely everything there is to know about sex.
Hi, I'm Erica of YourOrganizedPhotos.com. Do you have photos spread across multiple devices or printed albums that you wish could be online to share with your family? Do you have a hard time finding a photo when you want to? And do you want to make sure those digital photos are safely backed up just in case your device gets lost or crashes? We are living in a time when people can take more photos than ever in human history. Yet these memories can be hard to enjoy if they aren't easy to find and share. And if we don't create a good system to back them all up, our treasured photos are at risk of disappearing into the digital void. But here's where I can help. I love helping folks organize and protect their important images. If you go to yourorganizedphotos.com, you can learn about a number of services, in person and remote, how I can help. YourOrganizedPhotos.com.
But the reality is, sex educators are not able to know everything there is about sex. Oh, we have our specialties. Like, my specialty is in harm reduction, HIV AIDS awareness, and LGBTQ plus sexual health. So I don't understand how heterosexuality works. Sorry, it's weird to me.
It's pretty weird.
I don't get the mechanics of it. Like, who's the top and who's the bottom? I don't understand it. Growth.
It's a lot of switching. Yeah. Depends. Some switching here and there.
Breeders.
Breeders.
You mean to tell me another human being can be like the result of straight sex? Ew.
Man, let me tell you, that's so funny that you even say that, because, you know, when I got pregnant, I was like, fine, totally got this. And then I was like, holy fuck, I don't got this. Like, there's so much I don't know, because I did so much focusing on the, like, pleasure, on, you know, orgasms, on like pleasure anatomy. Yeah. Obviously I knew like the basics of the reproductive parts, but like I had no idea about so much of the process. Like, it's wild.
Exactly.
It really is its own focus.
Its own field. Yeah. Like, at some point, I hope to have on my podcast an OBGYN.
So
they would be able to teach me all there is to know about the female reproductive system, because I don't know enough about it. Like, I know you got your ovaries, fallopian tube, your uterus, and then your cervix and vaginal wall, and that's about it. But I don't know all of the other stuff that's related to it. Right? I would like to know more about it.
Yeah, that's
like a misconception about sex educators, is that we're always having sex and we know everything there is to know about sex. And my favorite misconception is that we're really good at relationships.
About that.
Thank you, imposter syndrome. Thank you very much.
Oh boy, yeah. We definitely don't know all there is to know. It's impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
It's impossible.
And when it comes to like relationships, yeah, we know a few things here and there, like how to communicate your boundaries, look out for gaslighting, or you know, being on the lookout for red flags. But we're still human.
Right.
We're gonna fuck them.
Right.
You know, because I feel like as sex educators, we're kind of being put on a different standard than the common population.
Right.
That's not how it works.
No.
Right? We're human. We're gonna fuck up.
And the people we like have relationships with are not all the same type of people. Like
exactly. And it's like we only know so much, and we are gonna mess up because we're human. And sorry,
right?
Call me a hypocrite. Sue me. Don't throw stones at glass houses.
Yeah, look, that's how it is. That's kind of the truth, isn't it?
That's why I say that I am chaotic. I am garbage. I give good advice, but I also give good head. But I don't take advice as well as I give head.
There you go. That's a good one. Well, so I actually kind of want to backtrack a little bit, because you say that you ended up taking classes that were focused on the music industry, right? Why did you decide to go into that?
Okay, what happened was, after a year of working for Ashley, I wanted to have a college education.
Sure.
You know, just something that I would really find myself engaged in. And I was really into like music, but not so much creating music, but like behind the scenes. I really enjoyed like production, set design, audio engineering, you know, the whole business side of it. So I went to school for that because it was just something I really like, that my heart was set at the time. My heart was so set in becoming like the next greatest producer.
Yeah.
Or DJ or whatever, right? Because like within the music industry, I did like a whole bunch of roles, A&R, management, accounting. Girl, I saw Earth, Wind, and Fire front and center. Do you remember?
Oh my God.
Yeah, because I did their taxes.
No, that's so cool. That's so cool.
I know Earth, Wind, and Fire because I did their taxes.
I mean,
I did get to meet them, which is really cool. So that was really awesome. And that was really something that I had my heart set on until reality sets in, and then you're like, there's literally no job security in the music industry. Nothing is ever set in stone. You're always, always, always kissing up to whoever. You have to constantly be networking. You have to like keep a good reputation within the industry, because the music industry is already like small.
Yeah.
And everybody knows everyone.
Yeah.
That was a lot of pressure for me to be like, ew, I have to stay up late at night until like 2 a.m. rubbing elbows with music execs. I want to sleep.
Right.
I don't want
to talk anymore. Yeah, right. God, they all work till so late at night. Jeez.
Yeah, it's not even work. It's just networking. Oh, God, I didn't even have a desk job. Well, I had a desk job doing their taxes, but like, you know, most of the other positions I had in the music industry meant I had to go out to open mics looking for new talent.
Wow.
I had to go to studios and oversee recording sessions. When I was an engineer, I would be the one turning the knobs
and
doing the mic. Yeah, like literally all that stuff.
Wow.
And it was just like too much.
Oh, wow.
It's too much rubbing noses.
Yeah.
So transitioning from there to sex education was really interesting because I had a vacation day where I went to New York and I was reuniting with one of my besties and we were grabbing Starbucks. And just out of nowhere, she asked, like, hey, Tim, you gay guys know all about anal sex, right? And I'm like, sure. And she's like, yeah, how do I take it up the ass? How do I take it up the ass? Because she wanted to do anal with her boyfriend because her boyfriend really wanted to try anal. Mm. And I was like, okay, let's walk you through your diet, your lubes, your douches, your toys. Let's do everything. And what started out as like a harmless little question turned into like a full lecture. And that's where I fell in love with teaching people about sex. So then I started doing my research. Like, okay, I have all this business knowledge with me. I have all of this escorting knowledge with me. How do I combine those two? And then I was like, sex therapist, too much emotional.
Yeah.
Sex, so somatic sex, something. And I was like, I don't know, not yet. And then I kept Googling and Googling until I fell in love with sex educator. So someone that like goes to schools and workshops and does speaking engagements. And I'm like, you know what? I kind of like that. Mm. That's how I started pursuing my career now as a sex educator.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, so how do those skills, like the business, the engineering stuff, how do you think that translates into sex ed?
So the skills I learned in the music industry, I know how to like manage my finances for one thing. Recording my podcast, I know how to like, you know, level and record and mix and all that. I also know just like how to relate to people, which is so bad because I'm like, that makes me sound like a monster. I don't know how to talk to people.
Well, some people don't, and that's fine.
That's true. And some people don't. But like, it was through all that constant networking that I started to pick up on some skills, like how to ask more questions, how to engage people in conversation. And I feel like that's kind of important when it comes to being a sex educator, how to connect with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beyond like intimacy, right? Like if you're going to connect with people as an educator, it's kind of theatrical when you think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're putting on a show,
right?
Like when you make content, when you're making a show, you have to be somewhat presentable in how you give out your content. So that is something I picked up in the entertainment industry.
Mm.
Well, I think that's more accurate. The music industry, entertainment industry,
yeah,
because that's really what we were doing. We were entertaining people. And I feel like sex education is sort of like entertainment, but with information in the mix.
Right, right. That's true. That's a good way to put that. I know I have several friends who call themselves edutainers, like a combo of education and entertainers.
Oh. What do they do?
Well, they're sex educators, essentially. And they know that like part of what they do is like entertainment. So some of them might have like shows or podcasts or, you know, things like that.
Like burlesque?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
They're like stripping and then it's like, this is what a full
burlesque. Right? Exactly. Or like pole dancing, you know? And then like, as you pole dance, you just like throw out some facts.
Actually, though, I can be spinning and be like, STIs have at least a week of incubation period.
Yes.
Now watch me spin.
Seriously. Or like, oh my God, you could put that on a banner and as you spin, like people will read it. Come on.
Yeah, right? Like, you gotta wait at least 5 to 10 days before it shows up on a tag.
Whee! Seriously. Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
And people are always so like surprised. It's like, it tested negative, but I'm still feeling a burning sensation. Well, babe, did you go immediately after?
Right.
Yeah.
Incubation.
It's got to cook a little bit.
Right. I know. I feel like that's like one of the things that you realize, or like you could have seen as a sex educator, how people were going to be during this pandemic.
Oh my God.
Right? Like, could you not?
this entire pandy has totally thrown human relation on its head. Like, we have no idea how to relate to people anymore because we've been in survival mode for the longest time. We're trying to just get by another day in lockdown. And people are starting to lose their common decency.
Oh my God. That is a tame way to put that.
A tame way. Yeah, no. People are truly losing it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers. It's just like, we've kind of lost touch with what it means to be a compassionate human being.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to like dial it back and come back to basic.
Right. But I feel like there was a moment in the beginning where I was like, I don't know if this is going to go well, because like just how people deal with like STIs, it like in general, or like the information that we know that people need about sex ed that isn't out there, and you're just like, or that is out there, but they're just like, I don't know, sharing fake news.
God, tired.
I know.
Alternative facts.
Oh my God.
Well, that's actually a form of gaslighting.
Yeah.
It's gaslighting to psychologically manipulate the entire population when you deny them their truth like that. And I was like, you know what? That did not occur to me that was gaslighting. Learn something new.
Yeah.
That is odd. That is.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a, and you know that it's like, ooh. If you're like this with that, like, what must you be like in for your personal relationships?
I know. If you're gaslighting an entire population, you probably gaslight your closest loved ones.
Like, yes. Oh. Yes.
It's not cute.
It's not cute.
Mm-mm. Really not.
Not gross. Cute. So tell us about your podcast and like how you got into it.
Okay. So literally, just a passion project. Pre-pandy, I was doing house calls, going to clients' houses, coaching them, and it was literally all through word of mouth. It started with my bestie in New York, who then told other friends, and it kind of just like started spreading like wildfire. Like, I started doing bachelorette parties.
Nice.
And yeah, and you know, just like couples who really needed some more help in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the pandemic happened, and it kind of just like threw a wrench in my plans, because I was so ready to like, you know, register my business and do all of the things I wanted to in person. Pandemic happened, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let this stop me. I need to be able to do something with the time I have locked up in these four walls.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is the best way that I can spread my message of sex education in a way that's like entertaining, accessible, and like it's gonna reach the most amount of people with the least amount of effort?
Yeah.
And about a podcast. You know, I love listening to podcasts. I'm not the only one that listens to podcasts. A lot of people do. Like, you can just leave it in your ears while you're working out, or like,
or driving. I did a lot while I was driving.
Yeah, a lot of people listen to audiobooks and podcasts and the radio while they're driving, and then you kind of just leave it on and you do whatever it is that you want to do. So I started doing my research, like, how do you launch a podcast? How do you like make money from a podcast? All that kind of stuff. And I decided, you know what? I like that. I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to see the things that are required. And once I finished like my first episode, I kind of just fell into the flow of things. My first episode was actually with Luna, Peg the Patriarchy.
Oh,
yay.
Luna.
Yay. After my first episode with Luna Matadas, I kind of just like fell in love with having more conversations with other sex educators. And it kind of just started snowballing into what it is now.
Mm.
I actually have more episodes than necessary.
But that's great.
That's what I think so too. But like, it's so many episodes. Like, I'm set until Christmas 2022.
Oh, shit.
And I've only got like 7 or 8 episodes out to date.
So, wow.
It's a lot. It's a lot of work. Which reminds me, your episode is coming out in Christmas.
Yay.
Part of my holiday.
Sharing all the links and everything.
Yeah, streaming on all podcasting platforms on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Google, everywhere.
Nice.
So, your episode is going to be all about, we talked about pleasure. That's part of my pleasure series, which is going to be a marathon over the holidays.
Aw, that sounds fun.
It's super fun, yeah. Aww. So for the holidays, I start with, I start with your episode, and then an episode on safe sex, and then there's an episode on, I have a birth doula.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because I figured, you know what? It's a new year. When it's a new year, it's new life.
Right.
I figured a birth doula might be best to have
on. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, super fun. And I learned so many things. And that's the beauty of like running a podcast, because you make all these connections with other podcasters in the same field of work that you do, right? I've been connected with so many people from around the world, as far as Australia, as far as back home in the Philippines.
Wow.
You know, there's a podcast out there called The Balut Kiki Project. And the name of the episode I'm on is Si Teacher na Nagbenta ng Aliw. And I was like,
wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just so interesting to see all of the connections I start to make. And all because I just had a little passion project. And here we are now.
I love that. Speaking of back home in the Philippines, how do you think being Filipino has affected your work? Or influence and affected?
You know what? When I was escorting, I was a hot guy. Because, it's going to sound so bad when I say this, but because I'm Filipino and I was an escort, I was fetishized a lot.
Well, yes.
You know? Yeah, because like when you're Asian and sex work, there's a certain expectation of you. You're submissive. Mm. You're always going to bottom. You're going to do whatever they want. So as shitty as that sounds, I did use it to my advantage to get more clients. And I got their money, honey.
Yeah, right. Look.
Who's the real loser now? And when it comes to being Filipino as a sex educator, I think it comes with a certain, like a double-edged sword, I guess, where it can either work against you or work for you.
Yeah.
Because when you're a person of color in the sex education field, you're not treated as equally as white counterparts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always the Gwyneth Paltrows or the Kim Anamis of sex education that are listened to more often than people like you and me.
Right. And they use so many terms and practices that are not their own, right? Like there's appropriation factor for them.
Whereas if you follow and listen to sex educators who are Black and people of color, you're at least getting fucking accurate information, because literally sex started with Black and people of color.
Literally.
Hi, it's Goddess Cecilia. I wanted to interject really quick to let you know something. Did you know that I provide your favorite sexuality workshops in a private setting to you and your friends? Whether you want to learn all about adult toys or how to have a fun and pleasurable oral experience for the giver and receiver, you can book a session with me based on your group's availability. Not often do you get to have a personalized experience at one of these types of workshops, and I'm super excited to offer it to you. If you decide to join my Patreon page, you also get access to monthly 30-minute private consultations. Everyone should have a sexuality and pleasure educator and consultant in their contacts, and I would be honored to be yours. Okay, back to the bar.
Where else are you going to get the OG information, honey? That's us. And also, like, you know, people who are open about their sluttiness, like you and me.
Right.
My legs are open.
I can't do that right now. I'm an old lady and I'm on a very small stool, so.
I'm an old lady too. I'm an old lady too. That actually was very painful.
Oh my God. I was like, nope. I know my body's limits. Look.
That really hurt.
Oh God. Stretch. You gotta do some stretches.
I know. My splits are almost there.
Mm.
Almost there. but I have been told by many a guys that I am already pretty flexible. So like the massage therapist that fucked me over the weekend, he was very surprised at how flexible I was.
Hey.
Oh, he's so hot. He's like Brazilian guy with dark brown hair and crystal blue eyes. He's going to Vegas for a couple of weeks. So I don't get to see him until next month.
Well.
What happens in Vegas?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds fun.
Also, I should note, just to go back to your previous question, even though I was an escort, I still hire an escort. Yeah. I still work with other escorts. I'm actually having him on the show.
Nice.
That's really fun. And he tells me that he works with other escorts as well.
Nice.
Which is like not something that a lot of people know, that escorts hire other escorts to help meet their needs. Because there are days when, okay, I always compare it to food, right? Mm-hmm. There are days when you like to cook. You go to the grocery store, you struggle with a Karen at the cash register.
Yeah, yeah.
And you work through all that, go home, chop up your onions and your meats, then you fry it over the pan, and then finally you have your food. But there are days when you're too lazy to do all that. So you just order Uber Eats.
Right. Oh, you're tired. Or you have a freaking kid running around. You're like, I don't have time.
Exactly. So there are days when, sure, I'll like play the game with some guy on the apps and like, oh, hey, you're looking cute.
Right.
I'll like work with you disingenuously just because I want to get some dick and I'll compliment the fuck out of you until you want to come over.
Right.
But then there are days when I don't want to do that because I'm so lazy and I'm so tired. So I'll just hire an escort.
But I feel like there has to be more normalization of that because like that's literally what what they do. And like there's so much about the dating world that just feels rotten, right? And like speaking specifically as like a woman, you hear all of these stories from other women who have to deal with like really shitty toxic masculinity, toxic like disgusting behavior from men who don't understand that it's okay to be rejected, or there are ones who are specifically like they just want the sex but they're unwilling to like just go and like actually like procure a service. Like if you just want to get laid, like there are people who will do that for you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But there's this like weird value place on it where it's just like, oh, you know, I don't have to pay for it. Like you get it for free. There's no, like, that's not impressive to me.
Yeah. It's like, stop trying to put your morals on other people. Sex work is work. It's just as laborious as any other desk job. When you're a desk job, you're whoring out your brain. Your fingers when you're typing.
Right. But also, the amount of people I know with carpal tunnel just from sitting at a desk, like, please. Or, like, sciatic nerve damage. Come on.
Yeah. Like, you clearly hurt yourself in the process of whoring yourself out for a big corporate name. Whereas sex workers, they're still whoring themselves out. It's just they're using a different part of their body.
Right.
You know what? All labor is exploitative under capitalism.
It is. Mm. It is. I've actually had a conversation with another person who I know who's also a sex worker about that whole, like, oh my God, like this is like a whole other conversation, right? Because I feel like there's this weird like anti-sex work talk, but it's actually just anti-capitalist. And yet they're like very much honing in on sex workers as the problem. And it's just like,
why don't you like critique all work rather than just
exactly. Especially if you're going to talk about capitalism, right? Because sex work exists outside of capitalism. And that's,
also, there's literally valid criticisms of the sex work industry without using the word whore.
Right.
Valid criticism there.
Right.
But like, if you want to just boil it down to, oh, you're a whore, like, find another argument, babe.
Right. And that's the thing that gets me. It's just like, I know that you think that you have a good point, but I feel like you're really missing something here. Like,
it's so cute how you think you're smart.
It's so cute that you think you have a point. But
so cute. It's adorable how you think you're so intelligent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just had someone use that to me the other day about, you know, the whole pig the patriarchy thing. They were just like, you should do your research. I'm like, yeah, I know these specific facts, but go on. Keep telling me how much research I need to be doing.
Yeah, go on. I've only been doing this kind of work for how many years now? But go on, go on.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about my job, please.
Tell me about my own work. Mm. Tell me about my own truth, my own experiences.
Mm. Right.
I like to compare myself to Anthony Bourdain. I'm the Anthony Bourdain of sex education and sex work. Look at that guy. Oh. He lived such a good life, like traveling the world, eating other people's food, the same way I have fucked every single guy from every single country ever.
Oh, that's fun.
At least I think so. I'm in the four digits club already. So
I like it. That's fun.
I mean, who's counting? But yeah, I'm already in the four digits. So,
hey. Worldwide. Forget Pitbull. You're the real Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide, exactly. You know. I like to enjoy the delicacies of all countries.
I love that.
Every single man has something to offer me. They have to line up and give me what they want. You're just like,
I love it.
I love all the flavors of men. I'm attracted to men. I do not like men.
Yeah, right. That is such a distinction. That is the realest. Oh my gosh.
I just wish that I could have sex with them without them saying any sort of stupid shit.
I have to sometimes, like, I say these things sometimes to my partner who is a man, and sometimes I'm just like, fucking men, and I look at him and I'm just like, I love you and also fuck you guys.
Fuck you. Why don't you just understand how to be a decent human being?
It's not even him. God. It's just like other cis straight men.
They're so annoying.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's
pick up a book on feminism at least.
Oh my god. Something. There's podcasts now. You don't even have to read, like, there's so much information. About it. So much freaking information.
The word intersectional, huh? Like, just drop the word intersectional at some point. It should be okay.
Right, they don't even know. They don't even know it's okay.
No? By the way, I'm on, like, my second...
Oh my god, wait, right, hold on. No, I shouldn't check this. I don't know why, I just thought I was gonna... It's, like, not even that much, but, like, that's such a bad idea.
I've been passing the time with alcohol because I think I have COVID, so...
Stop.
I'm double vaxxed, so the symptoms weren't that bad. But I just got tested today, okay. So I'm like,
you're waiting,
locked up.
Well, like, I hope that it isn't the case.
I hope so, because I want to play mahjong tomorrow. Family only. My cousins are supposed to come over and play mahjong.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny! Yeah, yeah, well,
like crazy, like fully like crazy rich Asian.
Yes. Does your family know what you do, and how do they talk about it?
They know I'm a sex educator. Mm-hmm. They definitely know that. I mean, do you see?
I mean, yes. I do, but...
They don't know that I was an escort.
Mm.
I don't think that their poor, fragile Catholic hearts can handle that. But they definitely know I'm a sex educator. It took them a while to warm up to it, but... Mm. They slowly started to be more comfortable with the fact that their son is a sex educator, they were slowly starting to realize how much good that can do for the world. Because I was telling them, like, a lot of my sex education work is not always about how to fuck.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's about how to communicate and how to talk to people. But the cherry on top was when I showed them my certificate over there.
Right.
And then they're like, Anak, we're so proud of you. And then literally not a second sooner, when I brought the certificate home framed and everything, my mom took a picture of it and then went on the WhatsApp group chat with all the family members back in the Philippines. And she's like, look, my son, sex educator certified. And I'm like,
Oh my god. That's cute though.
It's cute, but it's also like, wow. Wow.
I mean, we know that the Philippines needs it. I mean, there are some great like educators out there, but like, I don't know if you were there for that. There was basically this sudden realization of like, oh shit, like Filipinos really need a space where they can like talk about this shit without judgment and with like being really open. And I was like, oh fuck, Filipinos do need this.
Because like when you're Filipino or Asian, you tend to come from like a background of very conservative values.
Yeah.
Very reserved. And you've had to do a lot of repression.
Yeah.
I went to an all-boys Jesuit school. So literally, which I was like, maybe that's where I started being gay.
Those being surrounded by same-sex schools are always a little... I have questions. Yeah.
So having to go to an all-boys school for a lot of my childhood and being taught what it meant to be a man.
Mm.
And we had a headmaster, which was like a priest. And I was like, it's so weird how I never brought these into question. But yeah, like it was so weird looking back at it where like, why didn't I question it? Then again, I was just a kid, right?
Yeah.
Like I'll just take whatever a grown-up says as true.
Right, right.
So I feel like there's so much reformation of sex education back home that needs to happen. Because, for example, on the show that I was on, Balut Tiki, the hosts actually got a very angry Facebook message about the title of the show. Because Kiki is another nickname for a pussy.
Yes, yes.
A harem. Yeah. So this listener was very, like, livid at a show being titled Balut Tiki.
And, like, they don't even have to listen to it.
If it's not for you, yeah. Like, stay repressed, babe.
Right.
Stay in your lane. And, you know, stay in your ignorance. But don't spread your hatred out onto the other people who want this information.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just like, we need to reshape, rethink, and reform sex education. Especially us as Filipinos. I feel like, even though we are in North America, we, through the power of the internet, we have a chance to change education, sex education back home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our global reach, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just going to put this little bug in your ear, but something that has kind of like thought a little bit about some sort of like workshop series, conference, which is like not a thing I think about lightly because that's so much freaking work. Something with specifically Filipino sex educators.
I'm putting that on your radar.
It's just something that's kind of percolated in my head a little bit, and I'm, you know, because of unfortunately because of the stupid thing that happened earlier this year with Kim Anami, I feel like I've like really widened my network of like other Filipino sex educators, because for such a long time, I know I felt like I was maybe one of like three that I knew of, you know what I mean? And then it was like, oh my God, there's so many. And like, it's not possible that we're the only ones. Like there's so many of us out there. We just have to find each other.
I'm not even sure besides the two of us, who else is a Filipino sex
educator? Oh, well, there's a lot. There's several of us. There was Domina in the Philippines. She's like a kink BDSM sex educator. Justine Angfante, she's in New York. She's mainly worked with like youth, but she's amazing and is doing her own thing now. There's like several other people in my brains, and I can think of their like Instagram handles, but they're on my list.
Send me their profile, yeah. And I will fully follow.
They're on my AAPI sex professionals list.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Love it. So we out here.
Yeah. We're truly out here.
Yeah.
We out here, we're making waves, we're making changes.
Yes.
It needs to happen, and especially in our country.
Right. And I think that it's one of those things where it's just like, it could be extremely powerful if we all like kind of get together and like have the conversation amongst ourselves and then like create something. So I'm just putting this out there into your brain and into the universe, because
I mean, it's successfully been incepted.
Right there. I see it.
Oh, in my head.
In your
head. My head is so good. My head is good.
There you go. Oh my gosh. Well, Tim, it has been so fun.
So fun.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad that we were able to do this. Such an honor for you to be on Raw Bar. I'm super excited for my episode on your podcast. Tell people how they can find you and all the good stuff.
For sure. So I'm actually logged on here right now through my personal account, Gay Slut Clan. Feel free to follow me there. But I would love it if you followed me on Twitter and Instagram at SexEdWithTim. My website is SexEdWithTim.com. And my show, available on all streaming platforms, Sex Ed with Tim, comes out every other Thursday. Please listen, subscribe, leave a review on Apple. It really does help the show to get those numbers up. If you love funny, medically accurate, and entertaining sex education, that's the best way you can support.
Well, my friend, thank you. Maraming salamat. Thank you so much to everyone who joined us live, who's going to listen to this later. It has been such a fun evening. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Tim.
Well, friends, it's time to go our separate ways. I hope your body and brain are fully satiated and stimulated from today's episode. Make sure you rate and review today's episode and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Lastly, head on over to goddesscecilia.com. That's GoddessCecilia.com to find out how you can connect with my guests and me and how you can be a part of the Raw Bar Regulars. See you next time.